Bruce Jenkins joins us from the San Francisco Chronicle. Bruce, good morning.
How you doing, Marty?
Pretty well. You know, I love the movie 42, and April 15th has always been a very special day in my shows, the pregame shows, because I acknowledge what Jackie Robinson was to America and to baseball. So I like doing this. Not many people do it, and I'm glad to do it. I'm sure, in your own words, Jackie Robinson had a very special part in your life and baseball history.
Well, you know, he really did. My father, who was a musician, moved from New York to L.A. in the around 1938, and immediately became fascinated by the UCLA football team, which in 1939 had four black players. This is 1939, including Jackie Robinson and Kenny Washington, and remember the actor Woody Strode, who was in some of the westerns. And as I grew up, my dad began telling me about this fantastic athlete who in high school played, he was a football quarterback, he played basketball, he was on the tennis team, and he was a star in what they used to call the broad jump, now the long jump in track. And he was a guy who would play a baseball game, and then he's got a track meet later, and he's in such a hurry, he shows up, and he's still got his baseball uniform on, and he wins the broad jump, you know, I mean. And my dad actually introduced me to Jackie Robinson much later in life. But this is the background I had on him, just from, you know, I'm being an L.A. kid and about this legendary high school athlete. And, of course, you know, later on in breaking baseball's color barrier, that sort of transcended everything. But I was always fascinated by his background in L.A. because I'm from there, and it was quite remarkable.
Well, that was part of Ricky's plan. You know, Monty Irvin was supposed to be the first to break the color line, but then World War II broke out, and he wasn't ready at the end of World War II. And he acknowledges that, his brother acknowledged it. So that's when they turned to Jackie Robinson, who at that point, you know, he was born in 1919 and got to the big leagues at the age of 28. But just what you described, the military background, the UCLA background, that's why Ricky looked to Jackie Robinson.
He was just a very special guy. I mean, you just don't. It's so great. What a perfect man this was to pull this off. I mean, he was the first. He was the first one they tried, and he was the exact right person. Which it could have gone so wrong for a number of reasons, you know. But they found exactly the right person for this task.
Yeah. The other part of it that I like, Bruce Jenkins, with us on this Sunday morning. Of course, Leo Durocher had a very big part in quelling petitions and discrimination against Jackie on the Brooklyn Dodgers. In fact, they trained in Havana and Panama in 1947 because they couldn't be in the South anymore. But he had a tremendous impact on getting the ball club behind Jackie Robinson. Then, of course, he's fired as a manager of the Dodgers, suspended for a year, then fired, and he becomes a manager of the Giants, which I didn't even realize he managed the Brooklyn Dodgers until I was about 25 years old. Because my whole life, Leo Durocher was a Giant.
Absolutely.
And what I figured out just recently, just the combination of what he did for Robinson and what he did for Willie Mays. Because Willie Mays, even today, Mr. Leo, and Leo Durocher had the biggest impact on Willie Mays in his major league career.
Yeah, and these are the things that he should be remembered for. You know, Durocher wrote an autobiography with somebody, you know, Bill Libby or one of those guys.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Nice guys finish last.
Yeah, and boy, it's there's some hot-headed pages in there. He takes shots at everybody. He rips Ernie Banks, and you're thinking, you know, if you didn't know the whole story, this is just some cranky old man. But, you know, I mean, combined with the things you said, I mean, he played the game. He was a shortstop on the Gas House Gang, for heaven's sake, the 34 Cardinals, and an amazing career, you know, in Hollywood, mixing with celebrities, and a fascinating guy, you know, kind of like a little bit like Frank Sinatra, you know, bigger than life and with a huge temper, but you know, the talent to burn.
Yeah, and baseball in those days really didn't understand him, really. In 1947, he gets suspended by Happy Chandler for a year.
Wasn't that happy that day?
No, he was very unhappy. And why did he get suspended? Of course, because he ended up marrying actress Lorraine Day.
Yes.
And he got a divorce in California, but there's an interlocutory period before it becomes final. And they wanted to get married, so they went to Mexico to get married. Well, the judge in California heard of it, and he wanted to hold Leo and Lorraine in contempt of court, which then upset the Catholic Youth Organization, and they've threatened to boycott baseball. You combine that with his fascination, as you said, Bruce, with the underworld to some degree.
Yeah.
George Raft was his best friend, and George Raft used to have rigged dice games in Leo's apartment. And you know, you take these factors together, and that's how Leo got suspended for a year. And, you know, it wasn't in a vacuum. You know, it just wasn't, you know, one thing.
Which is why I'm much more fascinated by guys, you know, larger-than-life guys like DeRosa than, say, Bob Guerin.
It's true. And it took DeRosa forever to get into the Hall of Fame, and they wouldn't put him in when he was alive. They waited till he died. Then they put him in.
Yeah, you bastard. What do you think of this, you know?
Yeah, really. It really is. It's a great part of the lore of baseball that we love.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie kind of brought it back a little bit, so it's been a lot of fun talking about it. All right. The start of some teams this year. Look at the Atlanta Braves, what they're doing. And, you know, I pulled out some numbers this morning on the Braves. I just thought I'd run by you. B.J. Upton, they're 10-1. They're 5-0 on the road.
Mm-hmm.
B.J. Upton, 105. Hayward, 086. Justin Upton, 347. Gattis, who's the catcher filling in for Brian McCann, 333. Ugla, 189. And Chris Johnson, 344. They're 10-1.
They've got a lineup in which pretty much everybody, 1 through 8, can take you deep. They've got so much power in that club. Gattis is an amazing story. He was a guy who played some was a high school sensation. He kind of freaked out about the idea of playing college ball. He spun out of control. He just traveled around doing odd jobs. He needed rehab, and he kind of got the baseball spark again after, you know, 3 years of just aimless living, and all of a sudden he's worked his way back, and I think he homered in his first start for the Braves. He's an incredible story going on down there. Plus the Upton brothers. I mean, Freddie Freeman is out. This is another tremendous hitter. You got Hayward. I think that's kind of the way it's going to be. I mean, they're so different from the Giants. It's stunning. I mean, they're going to strike out an awful lot. They live and die by the long ball, but they're just as dangerous, if not more so.
Yeah, I didn't know the Gattis story. I did not know that.
Oh yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, he had every job in the book, traveling around the country. Never stayed in one place for more than a few months. He was just really wandering, just searching. And it wasn't until he consulted some kind of spiritual healer that got him thinking, maybe I could play baseball.
Wow.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Oh, that's a good story. All right, Bryce Harper. And I know you and I talked about Harper and Trout. Now, Trout is off to a little tougher start, but, boy, this Bryce Harper. Bruce, I want to tell you, when I watch him on TV, his bat speed is absolutely incredible. He's hitting 342 right now.
Yeah, I'm not sure I would teach his swing to kids because you need that lightning speed. He's so powerful. He's so explosive, and it works incredibly well for him. I mean, I think it was yesterday he hits a homer down the left field line, just a screaming liner. You know, he's anything but a Deadpool hitter, and he brings so much energy to the game, as does Trout. I couldn't believe him. The Angels are in such bad shape that Socha's got him hitting second. I mean, that's just sad. You know, this is the most dynamic leadoff hitter in the game. What's he going to do, move the runner over now? I mean, he obviously isn't going to be a classic number two hitter like Scudero, but, I mean, please, he's got to hit leadoff or third.
Did you and I talk about this yesterday? I don't think we did, of what Artie Moreno did in moving the press box down to the right field line.
Yeah, in fact, I talked to a bunch of people during the week and wrote an item in the Saturday column about what a disgrace that was.
How about that?
An incredibly vindictive move. You know, they claim they wanted to put something else behind home plate, but right now that space is vacant, whether it was going to be a suites or a restaurant. It didn't happen for some reason. Meanwhile, all the writers are down in prison, like down in the right field corner. They've got public bathrooms. I talked to Susan Flesser, you know, the women in the box, who's always a long line. They can't sneak out between innings. You couldn't see the field, which is sort of a detriment in some places of that box. And the worst thing was they had to weave through the post-game crowd to get to the locker room.
Wow.
There's no elevator straight down. I mean, it was just insane what he did. And the fact that it was allowed to happen, to me, I find really appalling. But they're working on some kind of temporary solution. But It's just an incredibly weak move by Moreno.
I find karma in baseball. I just believe in it. And I'm telling you, the Angels have very bad karma.
Terrible.
Don't they?
They really do. And this is just a, you know, another part that reveals that. And I think Socha's way done there. I think he's a good man. I think you and I talked about maybe him managing the Dodgers today. That could be happening sooner than later.
Yeah, no, I definitely see that.
Yeah.
Well, Brandon Belt, a few of the players, Posey off to a slow start. And I said, all right, is that unusual? And I looked up today. Joey Votto, 278, no homers, two RBIs, 519 on base. So they're walking him like crazy. Bruce behind him, 280, no homers, five RBIs. Matt Kemp, he's still at 190, no homers, four RBIs, on base at 239.
Yeah.
And Ethier, one homer, three RBIs. So I know we focus on the Giants sometimes, people get impatient, but it's part of the beginning of a baseball season. When it's all said and done, the numbers eventually are there.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, Belt's going to wind up around 270, 280, I think. I projected him higher after looking at him in spring training. That still might happen, but... He's stung the ball quite a few times lately. He's a little frustrated. A lot of them have been caught, but I don't think they're seeing anything from him to the point where they're thinking, oh, wait a minute, now what are we going to do about first base? I mean, he's an excellent fielder, and he's a pretty smart hitter running into some tough luck. I think, like you say, it's going to even out eventually.
All right, Wrigley Field. We had Alex Pavlovich on today. Dwayne yesterday said maybe 70 degrees. I hear it's about 40 again. But for Lincecum, look, you know, as they say in horses, he's a mutter. Well,
that probably reminds him of his high school and college days.
Really?
He's up in Seattle. You know?
Really? So maybe, and he's pitched well at Wrigley. I mean, he's really pitched well. And, you know, you talk about potential places for him if he's not a Giant. He's
not
really
sure.
Excelled in Wrigley Field. And, you know, honestly, you know how the Cubs are, and they'll spend money, and they're rebuilding. He goes out today and throws a shutout at Wrigley. I think all of a sudden the Cubs are going to take real notice of this guy.
Yeah, that's true. Although there's also those days where the wind's blowing out, but you're down 5-0 on a couple of pop-ups. But maybe they could have him for March and April, right? April and May.
Well, Giants base running yesterday, I don't know if you saw the game, but left a little to be desired. I'll tell you one guy who's not going to be a pinch runner. That's Madison Bumgarner.
No, they... A far cry from that dramatic dash from first to home by Pence, which is one of the great moments of the early season.
Yeah. Are you enjoying the Giants, at least the first couple of weeks? I know I was thinking last week, and my God, it was the ring ceremony and Posey and the flag, and now here they are sort of in the grind of it. I don't know. Can you get a grip yet on who they are?
Well, I think the character element is really high in that you feel like they're never out of a game, that they're going to come back, and they've done it repeatedly. Really, they don't lose 5-0 or 7-1, home or away. Pence's play has been really inspiring, I think, and really really key to what they're doing and maybe their future plans for him, which I hope they include him in their future plans. They're winning most of the time. You know, Romo, I think, is going to be pretty much the answer as a closer, although they'll need to spell him a little bit with Castilla, maybe even Affeld or Lopez down the road to see how it goes. But you know, as long nothing to indicate that he can't handle that job. Some of the guys are slumping, but I mean, we haven't really seen much from Posey or Belt offensively, and yet you know they're in first place.
Yeah, 8-4. Yeah,
I just think the character element of the team is still intact. They've had this, you know, for 3+ years now.
Well, how do you like Crawford? And
I said about
Crawford, Bruce. I said he's now impacting the game with defense. I mean, he's a game changer with defense, like a Vizquel and Ozzie Smith. I know he's not in that class yet, but he makes plays during the game which change the game.
He makes plays that other shortstops marvel at. He's got genius hands. It's really just very, very special. Will probably is online for a Gold Glove. You know, Anderson Simmons from Atlanta is going to be in that conversation, and some other guys. But I think people are starting to realize that this kid is the most talented defensive shortstop in the league, and he's really improved as a hitter, which is impressive. He's pretty much stings the ball more often than not.
Yeah,
a little bit of power, and yeah.
I think he wins the game yesterday. The play went off Sandoval,
He
made
what
the play.
And
Soriano is probably safe, but they got the call. I think it saved the game.
He gets rid of the ball as fast as anyone in baseball right now.
Yeah.
He really does, and that's – That's quite a treat. And believe me, the second baseman appreciates that if somebody's bearing down on him with double play.
Well, let me tell you, the 5-4-3, Scudero's putting his life on the line because Sandoval, it always hits off him. And, you know, that first throw is dangerous. Although yesterday he did turn a nice one yesterday.
Yeah, and I love Sandoval going into the stands.
How about that?
Yeah, I mean, people say, hey, why would you risk yourself? You know, Pablo Sandoval, he's got something to prove every day he goes out there, you know, to everybody who doubts him for his weight. And he plays with a little anger. You know, he plays, I'm going to show you. And,
he's a player.
Yeah, he is.
He is a gamer. He comes to play.
And he's an athlete.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. Hey, great to talk to you as always. I really enjoyed this morning. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, good stuff on Jackie Robinson today, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Bruce. Okay, we'll see you out at the park. That is great, Bruce Jenkins. I really enjoyed that today with him. All right.